Okay, so good evening. So we are going to start now. We have a handout. This handout, So the next, this next handout is for Yemir Hashem, the next two classes. And what we'll do is the next two shurim will go through these ideas, and maybe the following 2 weeks, if people are interested, we'll actually practice it. We'll take some texts. One of them is Kavonos of Rosh Hashanah, and one of them is a practical thing to use it in practice and to see how you bring this into actual doing. And I think for the davening of Rosh Hashanah makes the davening that much more interesting and for sure that much more meaningful. Okay, so this is, I put it together in excerpts so it'll be easier. So let's go. V'zeu kol tachlis ha-Torah v'mitzvos kulon. Says the Rebbe Tzaddik, this is the goal of all Torah mitzvos.
Where are you reading?
I'm reading from the first top of it. This is a, right? Okay. I put it together, so this we people will have. And this is the objective of learning of Torah. What is the objective? Lezakech halev legia leadia v'asagazu. To come to this knowledge and this perception. Derech riyah v'itbunenut. Through pondering, thinking, what's more interesting, contemplating. This is the concept of everything. This is the goal. Torah mitzvahs are there to create unity between human being and Hashem. So all of this is to get the person to that level. Shekol peulat adam umaseh enosh v'tachbulotav. Kasher hakol, kasher lakol. To realize that whatever you do, whatever you are, Ein shum davar nifrad b'men itbarach. There is no separation between us and Hashem. To create a mystical union is that no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, you're always connected to Hashem in that mystical union. V'kol ma shiflik chazal bazor v'chachmat emet b'sifreihem. And whatever the Zohar and all the Kabbalah, what are they trying to achieve knowing the metaphysics of the universe? Is only one thing. What is it? Hakol choyvas ese b'chokhmat emet u'mitzat v'yadate. The mitzvah from last week's v'yadata hayom v'shevot alavavecha. You should know and you should bring it to your heart. Ki Hashem u'elokim einot. Now, interestingly enough, the Baal HaTanya says the same idea. He says v'yadata hayom. If you look in last week's parsha, there are two ways of v'yadata, knowledge. One of them says, ata horeta ladat, you already know ki Hashem Elokim. And then there is a mitzvah, v'yadata hayom v'shevot elevavecha. So explains the Baal HaTanya the following. We know that there is such a thing called the chet etzadat. I'm going to explain what the Baal HaTanya says. There is the chet etzadat. There is the tree of knowledge that we had in Gan Eden. Knowledge. There is a lower level of knowledge which is called the rational knowledge. The rational knowledge that you understand, things make sense, very rational. And that's the first one. This is the basic knowledge that all of us have. But that knowledge, which is very rational, creates a separation and distance. That is chet etzadat. Chet etzadat is that in the end, the tree of knowledge and the tree of life are separated by something called the lahat acherev mitapechet. There is that sword that creates images, that creates distance. A person has to go to a higher form of knowledge, which is called experiential knowledge, to connect wisdom to life. This is what's called Chochmat Emet. This is what is Chochmat Emet, because everything else, the rational knowledge, blocks you out. In the end, it doesn't allow you to transcend. And you have to go ahead and change that knowledge. So that's why the Pasuk says, you have, you already have knowledge, and with knowledge, you could prove, you could see that God exists, and you could basically say that there is a God. You could come out to that conclusion, yeah, good or not, preponderance of evidence, whatever. But that creates a distance, and that's not the real image. You could find questions, you could go ahead, and you could be right, and you could be wrong. There is a higher form of knowledge. All of Kabbalah is taking knowledge into that higher level, into the level of attainment of that experiential knowledge. And that's what we're going to learn what it means here. Even though they say that this experiential knowledge is not made for everybody, the Gemara in Chagiga says that this is only made for a person, for the few and the far in between. Only somebody who has already achieved everything else. They learned this from this pasuk. Today you should know this. No mitzvah says today. Only today. Only one today. This idea of experiential knowledge is not for everybody. The Torah is telling you, by Har Sinai, that is how you got to know God, because you experienced Him. So he's telling his generation, Moshe is telling his generation, you already experienced that, that there is no existence but Hashem. Now that you experienced, make sure to continue that experience, to nurture that experience forward. It's not a mitzvah which is for everybody. So the Tzaddik said like this, experience is not made for everybody. And I told you, that's why what we're going to see here is, because this idea of meditative experiences were something that was very much only the domain of the very few. And I mentioned to you Rabbi Avraham Abulafia, and that was taken away. Rabbi Chaim Vital, that is all of Kabbalistic ideas of Dari and etc. The stories are those experiences. This is not made for everybody. Now, the Zohar, as we spoke, the Zohar becomes revealed only in the 13th century. Before that, it didn't, because it was only the very... there was the school of the mystics that kept them within themselves. This thing was supposed to be revealed. Now, this revelation becomes, this experiential knowledge and these ideas become more popular as we go along and we get closer to Mashiach. What I mentioned on Shabbos is interesting. If you look at in sciences, right? Once upon a time, we had a very rational science called Newtonian physics. Newtonian physics is something that you could have the Principia, you could exactly map out and calculate gravity and etc. And it's very rational, it's something that makes sense, clearly. As science has developed, we realize that Newtonian physics is just not right. It only works in a very small segment of life. If you go into smaller objects, you realize if you go very, very small, you realize that the reality is anything but rational. It's for sure not rational, it's only experiential. Or if you go very, very high to the very large object, if you go to the universe, you realize that relativity is the reality and gravity doesn't exist. Gravity is only an imprint in the time-space. So sciences also have shown that the world has on its limits much less rationality than is possible. If you're completely rational, meaning that we know that all the big physicists, the ones which were involved in quantum, we all know that they said that you can't really understand it. You could experience, you could get it, but you don't understand it because the world is such, which is also true in Torah, meaning that once upon a time you had the Kuzri, all these very rational ideas, that today we see that the rational, the idea of the Kuzri to prove Torah, today you come and you realize that the null hypothesis is always there and that's never answered. I mean, it was a good answer when you're looking at a very narrow knowledge. For most people, it sufficed. But today that you have the web, and you just go, and if you look on the web, they always find you the null hypothesis. That little possibility is the first thing that you see when you search. So you realize that these proofs don't work, because the world has come to the idea that even on Torah you need experiential knowledge. And Rav Tzaddik is going to say here that Kabbalah becomes, as much as they try to suppress Kabbalah, Kabbalah was not able to be suppressed. It's so interesting. You know, the Zohar was found. and it was published. They wanted to quash it. They go and they analyze, and the Rishonim accepted it as an authentic work. I told you that when he came, Rabbi Yitzchok de Minako goes to visit the Moshe de Leon to check about the Zohar, and he comes to the conclusion that that's a good work. But if you know something, the Zohar was kept in manuscript, was not supposed to be printed. You know, and I forgot to bring it there, next week I'll bring it. Whose Haskoma was the first printing of the Zohar? Was it by the Pope? The Pope was the one who at that time, they had this burning of this forum, because there was the controversy between the two printers of the Zohar. So the Pope decided to create an edict and to burn all Jewish books. So he couldn't print anything. There was nothing to learn. And the Pope said that he would endorse the printing of the Zohar. So in Cremona, he prints the Zohar. And they couldn't stop him. I told you, they're insulting themselves.
What year was that?
In the year 1530. I have Boch Hashem, the first copy of the Zohar. I will show you. And you see, the Haskoma is not the Gdolim, the Haskoma of the Pope. The approbation is the approbation of the Pope. And the Pope says it should be printed, and that's what he did. So the Tzaddik says, Hashem wanted it to be done, and there was no way to stop that. The Ari, the Kisve HaRizal, when they went ahead, and Reb Chaim Vital, when he died, they buried many of his writings with him. And people went and undug his kever, and they took out the ksavim, they took out the writings, and they published it. The cat was out of the box. Hashem wanted it to be printed. So these things went, not because there was a deliberate idea to print it, was just done it. And that's why the Tzaddik is going to say that this is a must. And then Hasidus comes, and Hasidus becomes very popular, popularized this idea. So this idea, the mystics, that's what he's saying. Even though it was originally just made for the few, as the world has developed, not only in sciences, but in reality for us, it becomes real for everyone. And that's what Reb Tzaddik is saying, that's the importance of it.
When you say that science no longer is rational, is it, when you say that it's not, you find that the highest levels of science it's illogical, or it doesn't go with...
It's not theological, it's not godly. It's the idea that there were...
Illogical.
It's not illogical either.
It's
not rational. Rational is the idea that something that you could go ahead...
It's intuitively illogical. In other words, it could be a wave and a particle, something which we don't naturally understand.
But you could say a wave and a particle, and you know that both are contradictions, then both are true, depending on how they decide. All these ideas that are very difficult to comprehend, and they're very difficult to explain, but you could get it, but it's almost inexplainable. Right? You can't put words. Okay, let's go to this.
So how did he end off here with the Chazal, that it's not for everyone? First, he started off by saying...
So that's what he's going to explain now. Let's explain, take a look what he says. He says like this. Now we're going today to talk about what makes mystical experiences in Yiddishkeit different than any other religion. And this is what makes us different than Buddhism. Because mystical experiences, people, is something, and I have a book, people want to see, it's called The Varieties of Anomalous Experience, are scientific studies of the different mystical experiences with different religions. You have the Sufis in the Islam, you have the Sufis, which we had conversations with them. You have the Asian, which is the Buddhists, and even the Hinduism, and the Christian mystics. So what makes our mysticism any different? So the topic explains the following. We know that there are two ideas out there in the Mishnah. One of them is called mind separation. Mind separations are the acts of curation. And the other one is called the acts of the chariot, Ma'ase Merkava. Ma'ase Merkava. So what is Ma'ase Merkava? Hu Eich Hashem Yisborach Rocheva Kol HaNivroim Kulam. Merkava is a chariot. It means that God is riding the whole world. The whole world is being ridden by God. So it's like a chariot that's being run by Him. Gam Achar Nishenivra Kolam Kekodem, meaning before and after the creation of the world. The world is just a constructed experience. It's not real. You have to understand that the world is not real. It's a constructed experience. I'm not sure if anybody, I hate to say this, the Matrix. Did anybody see the Matrix?
Mm-hmm.
So the Matrix, if you remember, there was a guy called Neo. Neo is taking on this idea because he's the one, right? He's the opposite of the one. That he lives in this reality, which is, by the way, I only think the science is now developing virtual reality, right? We are coming to the world of virtual reality. We live in a virtual reality. The Mindset Merkava tells you that the world that we live, it's a virtual reality. It's not real because it's only Hashem. That's called Mindset Merkava. The world is a chariot for God. Take a look at what it says. V'zeu ichud anikra b'zohar. And that experience of unity is called in the Zohar Yehuda Iloh. Yehuda Iloh is the upper unity, the higher form of unity. Ratzel lomar mitzadi taluta kol elokut gamur, that you could take everything to be godly. This is the famous story of pantheism. Because why is this pantheism? I'm not sure if I mentioned the story.
Does it mean monism or pantheism?
Because monism and pantheism are very close to each other. Because if everything is godly, everything is God. So, everything is God. Right? So then, evil is God. Everything is God. And this is actually pantheism. What's the difference between the two? And I told you, I'm not sure if I mentioned, this was an issue that Rab David Nitu was the Rav of London, of the first community in London, right? And he was the rabbi there, the Sephardic community. I'm not sure if you ever went to Bevis Marks. He was a very special person, Rab David Nitu. Rab David Nitu,
what year?
In the 18th century. And the reason why he was going into it, and I brought to you the papers the last time, if anybody remembers, is because Leibniz and Newton had a famous discussion that after you had, look at how the world is, right? After they developed the Principia and they created all the laws of the world, they had a problem, is okay, what's the role of God? What's God doing? He created the world that's working on of its own. So what is God doing? So Newton writes that the world of the system is that it will continue working up to one time, then it doesn't work, and then we'll come back. God will come back. So in other words, the system only works for a certain amount of time. And the reason is because Newton got stuck of where is the role of God in the world.
We don't believe that.
So for sure not. So Leibniz at that time, if you know Leibniz, because Leibniz and Newton were competing with each other about who was the one who came up with calculus, right? So they were competing. So Leibniz goes, so what? God creates something that's imperfect, that's going to work only for a certain amount of time, because he was worried about what is Hashgacha. Right? So this is the issues that they were facing. At that time, in London, there was a great rabbi. His name was Rav David Nieto. Rav Nieto is very interesting. If you want, try to bring his picture. He was somebody who wore a wig. He was a very special person, very respected. But the stipler in Eretz Yisrael, right, holds that his sefer is so accepted that you have to learn as a basic Jewish work. This is Rav David Nieto. And he gives a drosha in Jew. And he says, you know, we don't believe in what Newton and Leibniz, he doesn't say Newton and Leibniz, doesn't mention it, like this is not right for him to mention, but he says, the idea is that, it's not that we are asking what God does. Nature is God. The word Teva in Hebrew doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. It's a made up word that if you look in Tanakh, doesn't exist the word Teva. And if you Chazal say that the word Hateva, there's no Chazal in this, because the word Teva, nature, doesn't exist in Chazal. But the gematria, the word Hateva, the nature, the gematria is Elohim. What does it mean, Hateva, the nature? Because the essence of nature is God. God, basically, nature is only a way how everything is God. There's nothing but God. So it's not there is what God is doing. This is all God. God is the idea, the Hebrew word for nature is teva, is God is imbued, is nitba, is like a coin, a matbea, that you go ahead and you imprint. God is the imprint, is the essence of the world, and the world is a veil on God. That's what he spoke. The show went crazy. Because you realize that people always try to be frum. And I'll tell you after, but they went crazy. So, okay, this is pantheism. So you tell me the tree is God and the chair is God. This is pantheism. And these guys were people who came from Amsterdam. And who is the person in Amsterdam who is the father of this whole pantheism within the Jewish world is? Spinoza. So they said, this is Spinoza. This guy is like, this rabbi is not frum enough. So as you could imagine, when people actually get the wind that the rabbi is not frum enough, they try to drive the rabbi crazy. And they went to this rabbi, they want to throw the Dovinita to the dogs. And these people are very interesting because these are the Sephardim who came from Amsterdam, and they were originally Moranos, right? They came back from Portugal and all these places. So they were very religious, and their religion was God is God, the world is here, God runs the world, all the Newtonian world. And here it comes to say, there's no, God doesn't do, the world is God. Okay, big problems. They went with this to the whole world. They went this to Amsterdam and to Venice, which were the big people. And nobody wanted to pass them on this because maybe people didn't think about those ideas. But at that time, they're just a piece of history. At that time, there was somebody, an Ashkenazi, who lived in Amsterdam. And his name, he was one of the few, if not the only Ashkenazi that was called a Chacham. Chacham is a title of Sfaradim. And he signed himself Sfaradi Tahor, even though it's Ashkenazi, is the Chacham Tzvi. And the Chacham Tzvi was the god Lador, unquestionably. He was in Amsterdam. But in Amsterdam, he went, Jewish politics, he went against the rabbi of Amsterdam, because the rabbi of Amsterdam went and backed up one of the people. His name was Nehemiah Chiyun. Nehemiah Chiyun was a guy who came with a book, Kabbalistic book, called Oz Lelokim. And the Chacham Tzvi was of the view that that book is basically Sabbatianism and Christianity altogether. So that Kabbalah book, I told you, Kabbalah and Christianity are very close. So he comes that this is Christianity, and he sings that this book, Oz Lelokim, is terrible. The rabbi of Amsterdam says, Chas v'sholom, he's Ashkenazi, and he's against this guy, Nehemiah Chiyun, who's a Sfardi, and this guy, Nehemiah Chiyun, is a tzaddik, and the book is Kabbalah Torah. They went to his house, to the Chacham Tzvi, and they actually threw him out of Amsterdam. And he goes to where? To David Nito, to this rabbi in London, with the Sfardi, because he was a Sfardi. In the end, just to make things short, we all know that Nehemiah Chiyun today was proven that he was indeed a Sabbatianism. He was a Shabtainik Mizo Tamt Sabta Tzvi. His book is all Christianity. It's all garbage. The rabbi of Amsterdam today, we always know also that he was also Sabbatian, as what you call the closet Sabbatian. So Chacham Tzvi was right. But at that time, he didn't know. So he goes to Amsterdam. So look at the Hashem, Hashem does Ashgocha. So the Dovinito tells the Rabbi Chacham Tzvi. So they're telling me that I am a pantheist. I'm a Talmud of, what you call it, of Spinoza. And he writes a famous tshuva. And the famous tshuva is tshuva Yudchet. If you want to see it, tshuva 18. That he says, no, this is Yiddishkeit. Don't ever think that Yiddishkeit is that God runs the world. And that's a question, what does he do? We have the world and God does. The world is God. But there is a very, very big difference between the two. It's not that we think that the chair and the table is God. Chas v'sholom. We think the table and the chair don't exist. Their existence is God. They're only a constructed reality. They are a virtual reality. So it's not that the table is God. There is no table, just God. It's only a constructed reality. And therefore, don't ever make the mistake. And this is the Chacham Tzvi, famous Tshuva 18. Yes?
When you say constructed reality, is that with a corresponding, let's say, Hebrew or philosophical term, the Metzias She'eino Mukhrach?
No. Messiah Shana Mukhracha, this is much deeper than that. Well, let's look what it says. So this is Ichud Eloh. The Ichud Eloh is the ultimate unity. There's only one reality. And the word is not, it's not Mukhrach. Mada Mukhrach means that it's, it has no separate existence. It doesn't have a quality. It's not self-existing. Here is much deeper, non-existent. If you realize that this is the philosophy that everybody, the mystics, and the movie The Matrix is built on that, right? That you live in a virtual reality. It's like a virtual reality. Did anybody ever try the virtual reality? Today they have this idea. You could have the virtual reality. You live in a world which is a made-up story, but it's real. You could feel, you could interact, but it's not real. It's a virtual reality. So the world is virtual reality. So it's not that the table is God. The table is a virtual reality. It's a constructed reality.
Why can't you see the world like a computer game, and Hashem running the game?
Yeah, because if you see the game, so there is a game and God, but this is much deeper. It's that the game is in God's mind, is a constructed game. It's okay, ultimately, it's the same logic. Now, this is Yehuda law. We're going to see this, by the way, this idea of Yehuda law, every single mystic knows this. This is the basic idea of the mysticism that you could actually experience that. But take a look what it says. Shasagato hagmura, this is only possible to perceive and to understand that reality, Eino ala nevim ki cheskel v'adoim, is only doim to cheskel and nevim. Lehavdil, even on the movie, right? On the Matrix. Only one guy was able to perceive it, because the reality, that reality was so real that only one person was able to do it, Neo. Because you need, that's what he said, this perception, it can only come to that perception if you are in the highest form of nevuah. Now, v'yesh od ichud, and now there is a second, and this will make Yiddishkeit perfect. Yiddishkeit tells you that there is a second form of unity, which is always in conversation with the first form of unity. It's called ichuda tato, it's called the lower unity. The higher unity is that there is monism, there's nothing but God, everything is a virtual reality, at best a computer game. But then there is a lower form of Yichud, that there is one God, and that's monotheism. Shomru bezor shal ze omrim, and this is why Shema, there is two Yichudim. Shema Yisroel, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, is Echad means is one. He's not the only one, he's the one. That's it, there is nothing else. Yichud Eilo. Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuto L'olam Va'ed, God's glory and name will stay forever. That is called Yehuda Tato. This is the lower form of Yehud. Shazeh omrim baruch shem kvod malchuto lom achar shema Yisrael. Veratzadnu lomar, asaga tata minyan Yehud. That's a lower form of unity. Ayin bezor hakadosh. Asaga hi bederek klal yidiat kvod malchut yitbarach. This is knowing God's kingdom. That there is a king and there is a kingdom. There is a form of separateness. We are nothing towards him. And we are dependent on him, mitziyut sheina mukhrachat, meaning we don't have self-existence. We are dependent on him, but we are here. We are us. There is the I, and there is the thou. That relationship is called a lower form of yichud. Hainu ki kvod ha-malchut, because what is the glory of a kingdom? Sheyeh lo avadim tachtav, that should have subjects. And subjects means that there is a king, and there's a separateness between a king and his subjects. In halacha is that how do you respect a king? Make him different, separate from the nation. So there is a separateness. Yes?
If the Yehuda Tata is our perception that we exist and we have a king, but the Yehuda Ilah is that nothing exists, which is more like God's perception, because for God nothing exists. So how is it God have a kingdom if for God nothing exists?
So we're going to see, it's an excellent question, we're going to see, because these two perceptions are contradictory. That's the Jewish dilemma. And this is the way, by the way, the Rambam himself sees these two. One of them, you have freedom of choice, you have Bechira. The other one, everything is futile. Nothing exists. It's the world of Yedia. Mm-hmm. Knowledge and choice are themselves contradictory. Those are the two forms of Yehudim. Yehuda Ilo and Yehuda Tato. Now, Tekula says, Ki in Melech Bolam. Who says, where's Min Melech Bolam? Pirkei Rabbi Elazar. Perek Gedalef. Vezeu Sibat Kol Habriya. Why was the world created for? Legalot Kvod Malchuto. To give an appearance of a self-existence. What is the creation of the world? The creation of the world starts with creating space for the creatures. I just saw the Shabbos, so we're giving a shiur. The Maral says, if you look at the 10 miracles of the Beis Hamikdash, are connected to 10 Sefirot. This is one of the places, probably one of the only places the Maharal quotes Kabbalah. The 10 miracles, huh?
In
the Derech Chaim. In the Derech Chaim, the Mishnah in Avot says there were 10 miracles done in the Council of Israel in the first Beis Hamikdash. And the miracles, you look at it, you look at miracles that make no sense. But the miracles are representation of the spiritual forces and emanations that create the world. The last miracle, from bottom to up. What's the miracle? Shalom Adam l'chaverom. A person never told somebody else, Tzarli hamakom shalim Yerushalayim. I have no space in Yerushalayim. I always say, it's very interesting. The miracle was not that there was enough space. See, in Dubai, they're making, in 2020, they're making a world fair. And they are trying to make sure that they have enough rooms for all the visitors. So it doesn't say that the miracle was that there was enough room for anybody who came to Yerushalayim. Doesn't say. What it says is the miracle that nobody ever said to somebody else, I have no room. I always said that for the Jews, it's Tak Emes. The biggest miracle, the Jews don't complain. You're going to have enough room. But for the Jews not to complain, that's a real miracle. But according to the Maharal people, it's very gewaltig, because that one is connected this idea, the connected the space that God created for us. It's called the Keter. God never created a space. God created an image, a perception of space that nobody ever said, I don't have room in this world. The truth is, we don't have room here. There's no room for us. There's no vacated space. But the idea is, we think there is vacated space. So the miracle in Yerushalayim was, nobody ever complained that he didn't have space. Because it's connected that idea of the world, which is the creation of the vacated space. So the vacated space, creating space for creatures to exist, it's a construction, it's an image. And this is what the world is all about. So the world in itself is Yichud Eloah. The greatness of the world is that God gave us a perception of Yichud HaTorah. They gave us a perception of existence. That's why all the world was created for one purpose. It's Olam Chesed. It's a great, great expression of Chesed. That God created and gave us a perception of space. God gave us room to make sure that we feel that we exist, we have room, and there is a vacated space for us. But it's a perception.
Then we don't really exist.
We don't, but we have to believe that we do, because this is what God wanted in the creation.
Does it depend on the situation we're in?
God doesn't depend on us, but He created.
I'm not saying God, for us, we're talking about our perception, aren't we?
We all perception.
So our perception depends on the situation we're in.
Absolutely.
If we're in good times and we have room or whatever, God forbid we're in a situation.
That's why Nefesh HaChaim will say, and this is the famous story of the Matrix. Nefesh HaChaim will say that at some situations we can escape reality. And that is the chiddush of the Nefesh HaChaim that he will say also. These two realities, we have to live in the reality that we exist, but we can always, life is always to try to escape reality and to come back. That's called the Rotzei Vashoev. That's the beauty of Yiddishkeit. That you escape reality and you come back. Because the reality is that nothing exists.
Can you give me an example of that?
We are going to see that.
I cannot see that.
Yeah, but this is what Yiddishkeit is all about. We're going to see, we're going to get there.
Rav Chana
ben Dosa. That is, by the way, that's the beauty of Yiddishkeit. This is, by the way, I hate bringing the Matrix, but it's built on this, right? I think the guys did it. Because remember, they wanted to kill him. But he had to realize at some point in time when they want to kill you, that they don't really exist. You're getting killed because you believe that they exist. But in essence, they're not here. It's just a virtual reality that's so real that feels real. And that's how you died.
Again, it's a computer game.
So life is that. And the Nefesh HaChaim and all the Mekubalim will tell you, we have to live in a life here. But we have constantly to escape and come back. Escape and come back, and that gives you life. And in situations where you feel that you don't have space, you could escape. And this is the idea, and this is the beauty of Yiddishkeit. Take a look at what he says. שיוניב, נאו, ש... וזה סיבת הבני הכולה לגאות כבר מוכתו שיוניברי מכיר שיש בורא. והוא עניין לא כל הארץ כבודו. That is what it means that God fills the earth with his covet. שכבודו התברך ומלא כל הארץ, שכלל הבריאה יותר שבילה שמה לכבודו. The world is filled with God's glory. כי כל פועל השם למענה ולכלו. So God created everything to relate to him. לגלות כבוד מלכותו, to express מלכוס, to say that there is distance and to bring people closer. וזהו כבוד ממלא כל מדרגות התחתונות. And God's glory is everywhere. כי מדרגות התחתונות מייחוד המושג לכל דבר בקהל. This idea that you exist, but God is involved with you, God is your king, that is for everybody. So this lower form of Ichud, which is monotheism, that God has Ashgocha, and that God is with us, everybody understands. But the unity, which is much greater, that transcends that, not everybody can get there. Okay? V'zeo anotei bochiyud v'koch kiyumo. But to believe that God gives you the force and the strength, that's everybody. V'liotach l'abitziyud v'kayotze. V'zeo klal ma'ase bereshit. And this is what it's called in Kabbalah Ma'ase Bereshit. The acts of creation is to realize that the whole world is godly. To know the letters that make things, you see, in Hebrew. If you want to know something, how it works, you know the best way of looking at it is by looking at the Hebrew word that defines the object. Because the Hebrew word, we believe, are the vessels where God transmits energy to make things to exist. The word represents what it is. Let me give you an example. There's so many examples. The word ozen. Ozen is the ear. But in Hebrew, if you want to create a scale to balance, what is called moznaim. Why? Because the ozen is the one that creates the balance. So leazen, if everybody knows a balance in Hebrew, it's called a maazan. Right? You could go. Not only that, you could go into letters, meaning how do you define what a letter means? You could define this in several, there is criteria to that, right? You know the numerical value, the name of the letter, Aleph, right, means something. Haraya, that in the old Hebrew, which is called Ksav Ivri, it was a pictograph, was a the Hebrew letters were representations of the name. So the Aleph was an ox and the Beit was a house. So that has a value. The first time the letter appears in the beginning of a shorish in the Torah tells you what the letter is all about. So with the letters is a creation, and you could see that's called Ma'aseh Bereshit. That's why Sefer Yetzirah. Sefer Yetzirah tells you if you want to know how God relates the world and what things mean, that is Ma'aseh Bereshit. But that everybody can learn. Because this is the way how you see how God relates to the world. There's a world that was created by God. God wants something out of it. This is called the lower form of Yichud. It's called Yichud HaTato.
I sort of asked you this in the first shiur that you gave, but the way that he's explaining Yichud HaIlah, it seems to me that that works with Tzimtzum Shelo Kipshuto, but it doesn't work with Tzimtzum Kipshuto.
The idea is, and I'm going to tell you again, all the Mekubalim say, there's no such a thing as Tzimtzum Kipshuto. Tzimtzum Kipshut is our perception of Tzimtzum. Is lo amar adam lachaviro tzadia makom shelim
b'shalayim.
Tzimtzum Kipshut, let me explain to you. Tzimtzum Kipshut is like this. God created a vacated space. He vacated space for us. Did he actually vacate space? Or did he give us an impression of a vacated space?
Yosha Levov would say he vacated space. If Yaakov Emden and probably the Grod, certainly the Leshem would say...
It's natural. I'm so sorry to say. If you want, we'll be able to see it's on an impression of a gate space. All of them will say, Yehuda Elod, the Leshem is full of this, the Groy is full of this. It's a mistake for people who read it very, very, very superficially. It's not. There is only impression of a gate space. There is no vacated space. It's only an impression. And that's my separations. But that's what he says. By the way, this is the two visions. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Hashem Tzvakot Melo Kol Haaretz Kvodo, that everything is filled with God, Yichud Elo. Baruch Kvod Hashem, the greatness, the glory is Hashem Mimkomo, from His space, that He is basically Ayem Ekom Kvodo, that we say, where is God? Yichud Atato. Those are the two forms of Yichud that we are constantly juggling between the two. Yichudai lo and Yichudatato. Take a look what it says. וזה כלל מה שבראשו, הקור, איך כל הנברי מעשה השם יזבורך לו. So my inspiration is to understand how everything was created to give glory to Hashem and is connected to Hashem. My inspiration creates the connection between creation, the world, and Hashem. והוא כבויד מלוכים חקויר דובר. This is the glory of kings to understand it. שדובר זה מיצו על כל אחד, לחקור, וזה לתמר קום של בגעת. And that's a mitzvah for everybody to understand. It's a mitzvah of my inspiration to understand the lower form of Kabbalah, which is to understand how the world relates to God, how was it created, what's the metaphysical fabric of the world, of how the world relates to God. That's a mitzvah for everybody. וכן במיצה של נא, לא אמר היום, and this doesn't say היום, שמצוות בכל אדם, everybody and every day has this mitzvah. רק מה שאומרו, שאם דורשים מעשה בראשית לשניים, שהמעשה ומתנם בזה ברבה, to go ahead and to discuss מעשה בראשית, ברבים, שיוכל לבוא לחקיר אמר למעלה, to try it, because if you talk about the world, how God created the world, and etc., you're always going to be remaining with a problem, right? If you go to the edge, it doesn't make sense. Because what was before the world? If God created the world 5,000 years ago, 5 billion years ago, it doesn't make a difference. What was before? What was God doing the eternity before? What is going? It's such a funny thing. If you look at the world, it makes so little sense, right? God is forever. And in the middle of forever, he decided to create us for a few billion years. And then forever he changed. It doesn't make any sense.
Time is a creation itself.
And the time is a creation in itself.
Before, there's no before.
There's no before, there's no afterwards.
Why,
so,
why can't it be? Consider recycling. Unfortunately, with the Jewish population, we've had killings or all these mass.
So God is constantly recycling forever?
We'll end up with the 12, 13, 15 million. Maybe those neshamas have been just being recycled. Till we come out right?
So it comes out that God is in this like unending loop of recycling.
Similar?
Yeah, it's a hard thing to believe that.
Well,
so I told you. So that's why the construct.
He runs the world, and it's like a computer game. You're programmed, and you have to come out the right way. That's what we're looking
So
at
that's doing. Why I'm saying this is something, the perception. We have to really detach ourselves from this law. We are very physical. We are bound by time. We have to break time. All the Yiddishkeit is to take this Yichud HaTatoh and to start raising it and transcending it to Yichud HaLoh. Because otherwise you get stuck into those things.
The first mitzvah is to know the month. If we don't have to know anything about time, what do we have to do with the new moon?
No, because now, why all the mitzvahs, by the way, they start...
Why is that the first one?
Why is the first one time? Right? Because that's what Michael just said. Because all the Yichud HaTatoh, this lower form of Yichud, which is our existence, is the concept of time. Time is not only time, is the idea that there is a progression, there is a natural development, there is what's called a hierarchy, there is a story, there is a sequentiality. That is the process. So we begin with time. If you go ahead and you extricate with time, you're elevating. You realize that the elevation that you elevate yourself from the constructed reality, the first step, is to elevate yourself above time. Time is the threshold of the constructed reality. Right? Anybody who knows this thing, you sink into another movie called the 13th Floor. And the 13th floor, you went and you realize that there is the world is like a game, but you realize that these things are, the reality is losing its concept. It's 13 because 13 is Begimat Rechot, meaning all these guys were looking into these ideas. So there is a threshold, there is the twilight of creation. The twilight of creation is time. Because above time, things start losing the reality. So the threshold is time. If you want to go above, if you want to transcend, what's the first transcendence? Rav Wuttner always writes, it's to go above time. That's why the mitzvahs, you have to go ahead and not to take your time. If you have a mitzvah and you take your time, it's wrong. You have to break away time because time is a boundary. And if you want to become spiritual, if you want to go and to escape this reality, it's escaping time. That's what it is. But take a look what it says. V'chem mitzvah shalda. And you should know something. That this idea, to realize that the world was created for God, by God, and it relates to Him, but is at the same time a constructed reality, this duality, and you realize that the way to attach yourself to God, which is experiential, is realizing that there's no existence and it's, oh God, he's so close to you. Kitam nafshi yotza bedabra. That's why Bahar Sinai it says that the souls of the people detached because they realize that they are not real. They are part of Kodesh Baruch Hu. That closeness makes reality dissipate. That's by Har Sinai. Kivan shemazik shino nival matzmo. So you realize that you and God are in that connection, which is the mystical union. And therefore, by Har Sinai, when they perceive that the reality is God, their neshama went away. Voida Kodesh Baruch Hu tal shel tchiyah lachzir b'adregah, and Kodesh Baruch Hu brought them back. So life is escaping reality and getting close to God and then coming back. This is the beauty of Olam Haba of Yiddishkeit.
That's not life, it's death. And it died and
goes. No, but they came back, Porcha Nishmosam. Why it was...
They didn't come back any different. They didn't come back enlightened.
They didn't come, though, no, because life is these dialectics. And this is what differentiates us. Let's say, if you look at Sufism, and Buddhism. The idea is the world doesn't exist. You want to escape. You want to become a bodhisattva. You want to go ahead and to escape. There was a famous guy on the Sufis that he was killed by the fanatics in his time because he said the world is haq. The world doesn't exist. Nothing exists. I'm not here.
What I don't understand is why does Yiddishkeit look to these things? To look at Buddha, a statue, or... Let me say what we look for ourselves.
For ourselves is we have these dialectics. We have the Yehud HaTatoh and the Yehud HaIloh, and we are constantly juggling between the two. The world of Yedia and the world of Bechira. That's the idea of Bitochen. Bitochen is to realize that we are always into this. We exist and we don't. We are separate and we are close. This dialectic, this, like the Rambam says, Yedia and Bechira, those things are incompatible. Olam Haba is that they are going to be connected. Let me tell you how in Halacha. Do you know something? Let me tell you a second. In Halacha, Baruch Shem Kvoid Malchusoy, which is Yichud HaTatoh, in Shema Yisrael Hashem Baruch Hashem Echad, you know that you cannot separate the two. The Halacha is, Mishabura says, the Halacha is like this. The Levush says, you cannot, oh Shema, you could interrupt. During Shema, the word Shema, the first pasuk, you cannot interrupt unless you have sakonas nefoshes, unless you could be killed. Now, the Beis Yosef says, Baruch Shem Kvoid Yerushalayim says you cannot interrupt either. But the Achronim say that you cannot separate Baruch Shem Kvoid Malchusoy and Shema. And I'm telling you, the only way to separate is Chatzom somebody to kill you. And Bishop Rosh says, I don't understand why they have to be together. But the issue is the same, because one is Yichud HaIloh, one is Yichud HaTatoh, and they have to basically connect. One is Etz HaDa'as people, and one is called Etz HaChaim. Etz HaChaim is Yichud HaIloh, which is, this is what life is all about. Etz HaDa'as is the knowledge, which is us, and we go. Knowledge means to separate. In Hebrew, the word Da'as is to separate. That's why the Yerushalmi says, you say Havdolah, but das also means to connect. Ve'adam yadait chava ishto, meaning to connect. The sexual union is called yediyah. Va'yeda Elokim. So therefore, yediyah, that's a das and that's a chaim. They're supposed to connect. And this is the life, what's supposed to be. But in that itself is this back and forth by Matan Torah. You know, Losid Lovi, Marco always says, Baruch Shem Kvoid Malchus Olam Vod has 24 letters, Shema Yisrael has 25. Why? Because Losid Lovi says the Zohar, Baruch Shem Kvoid Malchus Olam Vod, we have a Vov, will be called U Baruch Shem Kvod, because it will be connected, the Vov Achibur. That's Olam Haba. Olam Haba is this ability to navigate it too. If you want to experience Olam Haba in this world, it's that back and forth, connecting and coming back. That's my Matan Torah. That's Yiddishkeit. Exactly right. Rabbi Akiva was Nichnas B'Sholem V'Yotza B'Sholem. That's why Rabbi Akiva, we are going to see, and I put it here, this was the mistake of Acher. Acher is the one who became non-religious among the Tanoim. And the reason is, Chazal say, because it's Kotzot B'Ditiyas. He cut the two worlds apart. he could not, when he came to the experience, he realizes that those two ideas are completely incompatible. So he separated the two. And we're going to see after the clearance that Acher. Acher created the world of Yediyah and the world of Bechira are separate. And he says, you know something, I'm going to leave the world of Yediyah so I could do any affairs because it's all God. To eat Chazer, you go to McDonald's, it's God. The whole thing doesn't exist. The whole thing is a made up thing. So he lived, but we are supposed to not escape the reality, to constantly go back and forth. That is the mistake of Acher. Rebbe Kiva was nichtas b'sholem v'yotza b'sholem. That's him. Now, let me just finish this paragraph and then we'll stop because we are late already. This is the miracle of the Torah. Shia miyachedet ma'isei bereishis ma'isei merkava. What does Torah do? We put together ma'isei bereishis and ma'isei merkava together. Ki asoga ma'isei bereishis k'vaya kodem ha'Torah. This idea that the world, my separation, that the world was created by God and is run by God, is not only Jewish. My separation is attributed to him before Matan Torah. What's Torah? It's the Yichud Eloh, to show the Matan Torah that it's only Hashem. So what's the Chiddush of Torah? That you could navigate both worlds. We are the ones. That's why Jews are manic depressive. Because we are constantly juggling two realities. And that's what makes life interesting. Look at this. The world is all God. And we still think that we are something. So this distance and closeness, this is Yiddishkeit. This is what Yiddishkeit is all about. If you want to define what Yiddishkeit is, and you see, and this gives you the varieties of anomalous experiences. Everybody has this. This is possible to understand, and the Sufis and everybody got it. But to be able to reconcile the irreconcilable, the back and forth, that dialectics, it's really Jewish, and that's who you are. And that's who we are. And that's who we are. Okay? Vizeh Pele Atsumanyaka Dovragola. So this is the biggest miracle to be able to reconcile these two. Shit Galle Morka Ze call my Severkov because it galu rakal derach with Malchut. You have Matan Torah, they realize it's all God, and they still saw themselves as beings. Shua karat nivra la boira va mikomokesh bitzil male nivra ve zeu mishlemu sa ichud agom she bitzil za nivra ve derg gam kolach. This is the ichud. The ichud is that you exist and you don't. That's why you have to always start with my separations, and then only through learning, through understanding my separations, you could transcend from a text. You have always to start from the rational and let the rational take you above and beyond. That's why you can never start only with meditation. Because if you just meditate, you escape reality, and you can't do that. And that's what we'll see. You'll see that you learn rational, and then you could go beyond. This is life. You go back and forth. You can never have ishtadlus without bitochen. But you can never have bitochen without ishtadlus. The guy to say, okay, I'm not going to do anything, God's going to take care of me, is wrong. I koichi v'otzem yodi. I'm the one who takes care of everything. This parsha said it's wrong. And this is all Yiddishkeit is about. And this is, I will tell you, not only that this is the chidush of Torah, but not only this is the chidush of Torah, this is the gift of Yiddishkeit. The gift of Yiddishkeit is to be able to live in both worlds together seamless and to transition and come back and to realize that we live in a life which is a fascinating experience because you're constantly juggling between two realities. Continue with Hashem.